Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Impacting Life 24/7, coming to you live from the High Definition Studios here in Jacksonville, North Carolina, the home of Marine Corps Base Camp Lejeune. And I am here in the studios already inspired, y'all. Y'all know I'm a mess anyway. Y'all know I got issues, but I'm already inspired because I done spent 30 minutes with one of the most inspiring brothers y'all gonna hear today, and probably for the next several days. My friend Rodney Flowers has a story of stories, and I am not going to ruin his story, but I am going to share just a tad bit with you about why we had him here. It was the fate of God how Rodney got onto our show, and we're thankful for it. He was a talented, dynamic, star-bound young high school football standout, and he was already catching the eye of top college recruiters, and he was used to being described with those high and lofty titles. Then, one day, one fateful tackle left this brother a quadriplegic. Doctors told him that he would never walk again, but Rodney refused to let adversity define him. Y'all know I love adversity. Thanks to his grit and his spirit and 18 years of determination, he was able to leave his wheelchair and rewrite his story. His story. Now he's sporting a few new labels. I love it. Role model, best-selling author, has written several books, acclaimed resilience and reinvention expert, and an in-demand keynote speaker. So much in demand that I've already booked Rodney for a couple more shows just from this meeting today. Listen, known for his engaging speaking style and magnetic personality, Rodney's signature keynote and seminars do more than just entertain. They inspire audiences to take a courageous action. They gain skills, tools, and strategies to overcome any obstacles. I want everyone out there in Impacting Life 24/7 land to join me in welcoming my friend, the motivational speaker, Rodney C. Flowers. Welcome, Rodney.
Yo, yo, CL King. Thank you, bro, for that intro. Thank you for having me on the show. Hello to your audience. Hey, I'm happy to be here, blessed. And yeah, man, it was the plan of God to bring us together, man. And I'm just delighted, happy to, you know, get to know you. And the work that you're doing, man, is fantastic, man. We need more people like you in this world, man, inspiring audiences and people around the world, especially at a time like this.
Yes, sir. Well, ladies and gentlemen, again, for those of you listening on our podcast, that we have in our virtual studios, my friend and guest, Rodney Flowers. And for those of you watching live, I'd like to welcome everyone watching on the live. Thank you, Greg, the VP. You can go ahead and put his website in. But one of the things that we do right off the bat before, so people can connect with you right away, is we ask how people can connect with you. And so what's the easiest way for people to get up with you, Rodney, on your website?
Yeah, obviously, you can go check me out on my website. I'm a very personal guy, so you can email me directly, Rodney@RodneyFlowers.com. I'm on social media, Instagram, LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, you know, just Rodney Flowers. Easy to find. Trust me, it's very easy to find. You can just Google me and I pop up all over the place.
That's right. I've been stalking him for several weeks, ladies and gentlemen. So I know every. I'm the surprise the FBI and came to your house and said, hey, there's this CL King that's looking at all your files, brother. But Rodney, listen, we got a lot to get to, and we got a lot to get to because the two times that I struggle with is at when I have to speak at a funeral or a eulogy, a funeral or a wedding, they want me to cover a lifespan in an hour. And so we've got to cover a lifespan, brother, in an hour. But I feel like that this is going to be an hour of value, and it's going to bring a lot of attention to impact and resiliency. So let's set the stage for Rodney Flowers. You were, and everybody knows who I sent it out to a bunch of folks. Everybody knows that you were a standout football player, and one day that changed. Tell us about that game, brother.
Well, yeah, I mean, it was a great game up to the point of injury, but it was the beginning of the third quarter, man. We were starting, you know, the second half of the game. I was lined up on the right side of the field. We were kicking the ball off. And I was a playmaker, man. I was known for making plays, and I wanted to make a play, kick the ball off, ran down the field as fast as I could, you know, on the kickoff team. The receiver caught the ball, started heading towards my direction, and I got in tackle form, and bam, I made a tackle. And I went down, and he went down. But I didn't get back up. So I was trying to get back up. Everyone yelling at me, you know, my teammates, you know, coming over, say, yeah, Rodney, good hit, man. Come on, get up. Let's go, you know, preparing for the next play. But I couldn't get back up. Mm. And it's funny because my brain was like going through the process of getting up. And I was like processing getting up, but my body wasn't moving. It was a very weird feeling because I'm like mentally getting up, but physically not moving. it was like, you know, one of the most scariest moments in my life, because I've never felt anything like that, but I knew something was terribly wrong. Mm-hmm. And the first thing that came to my mind was paralysis. You know, I knew there was something going on with my nervous system, because I couldn't feel anything and I couldn't move anything. So they rushed me to the local regional hospital. They start running tests, and one of the most memorable moments from that experience was being in the ER of that hospital and lying on my back, and they're using these, you know, oversized shears to cut my gear off. Mm-hmm. And my dad standing over, you know, my bed at that moment, and they started running tests once they were able to get my gear off. And he said, Rodney, can you feel that? And I said, feel what? And he said, they're cutting the bottom of your feet. Your feet are bleeding. Mm. And I couldn't feel it. And, you know, tears began to roll. And I knew that, man, this is a very like threatening type of situation that I'm in. And, you know, the uncertainty began to set in, the fear began to set in, and they couldn't even treat me. They knew it was a traumatic accident or injury. And so they flew me out to Duke University Trauma Center on the helicopters. First time I rode a helicopter.
That was a bumpy ride.
But yeah, so I get there and they run, you know, more tests. And, you know, the next morning, you know, just as the sun was beginning to shine through the window of the intensive care unit, you know, the doctors visited my bedside and they said I had a C5, C6 spinal cord injury. Mm. And I was probably going to remain that way for the rest of my life. There was a lot of swelling, and the conditioning of my accident was not one worthy of surgery. It felt like there was nothing that really they could do to help. And they began to explain how my family and I should prepare for life in a wheelchair for me as basically a vegetable. There wasn't any anticipation of me even rebounding from that at all.
We talked pre-show, and I didn't think I was going to get emotional on this show. Y'all know I'm a very emotional person, ladies and gentlemen, on Impact Life 24/7, but I just feel the weight of that. You know, it's one thing to be told when you take your car in, yeah, you got to get a set of new tires. It's another thing to be told, I'm sorry, what the life that you were used to, the way that you would ambulate and navigate this globe is no longer the same. In fact, you won't navigate it at all, except by way of a wheelchair. When that was told to you, it was a high percentage that they said, hey, look, it's probably this percentage, right?
Yeah, I mean, there was a series of more tests and evaluations, therapy and things like that. But at the end of the day, you know, when all the paperwork was delivered, there was documents that stated that I had, they called it tetraplegia, which is worse than quadriplegia. Mm. And that I had a 92% chance of remaining that way for the rest of my life.
92% chance. And, you know, when you're getting that type of news as a, what, how old were you at the time?
I was 15.
15. You had the, I mean, you already had colleges, was already sneaking in the games, checking you out, weren't they?
Well, yeah. I mean, I've had a couple colleges that had, my coach had mentioned that there were some colleges that were interested. I hadn't talked to them.
Right.
And, you know, obviously I had my sights on a couple that I wanted to attend. And, you know, I was, you know, had a great football year ahead of me. You know, I was a star on the team among some other stars. And, you know, we were a great team. I mean, my team actually went on to win the championship that year.
Oh, wow.
So, I had my whole life ahead of me. I just got my permit. You know, I just started driving and, you know, at that age, you start experiencing a little bit of independence.
Right.
You know, you're on the cusp of adulthood. And so that's exciting because you're feeling like, you know, you can start handling things on your own.
Seeing the crest everything. Over the horizon. Yep.
Yeah. And so it's exciting. I mean, I had a car, you know, my uncle had given me a car and, you know, I was just ready to start living. As a teenager, everything that a typical teenager would want to do. Yeah, that was me. I wanted to do those things. And I was a football player. So there are some perks that come along with that as well.
Right. And, you know, I'm just reminded. I know you're a man of faith, Rodney, but I'm just reminded about how fleeting life is. It can change in just an instant where you have this scroll of plans that you want to do. And you have this, like I said, everything was cresting over the horizon, man, colleges in the future, high school championship, football team, everything. And then in one play in the third quarter, the start of the third quarter in one play, it ends it all. Tell me about, because a lot of times and we don't, you're not a sad song singer. I know you. We've talked and I've looked at how you present. You're not a sad song singer. But I do want to explore just for a moment, and I might have to go to a commercial break a little bit later. Just give me a few minutes on the commercial, guys. The loneliness, depression, the anxiety that you felt, those real emotions. Tell us about that.
Well, I mean, one of the first things I felt was alone. No one was really feeling what I was feeling. And I felt, why me?
Right.
Okay. I wasn't a bad kid. You know, I listened to my parents. I mean, I was a typical teenager. I didn't do everything right.
And which one does, right?
I just didn't feel like I deserved that. And who would?
Right.
So I felt like life wasn't worth living anymore. Felt like God wasn't real. And why did he let this happen? Why did he let it happen to me? What am I supposed to do with this? And it felt very dark. You know, it felt meaningless. Mm-hmm. And very hurtful. Very, very hurtful. Because now life has changed so much. And I don't know how to navigate this. I don't know. I've never, you know, you have an image when I'm just going to be real. You have an image when you're playing football, you know,
right.
Or maybe just anyone would have an image at 15 years old, especially me. I did. And I never seen myself in a wheelchair or disabled or what people would consider handicapped.
Right.
And that took a toll on me because it affected my identity and who I was and how I not only was perceived by others, but how I perceived myself.
How you perceived yourself.
It really took a toll on me. And so I had to reinvent myself, reinvent my image and reinvent, you know, how I seen myself. And that took a lot of work.
You know, ladies and gentlemen who are listening to Impact Life 24/7, I am joined by my friend Rodney Flowers. You can find this amazing story. Ladies, I'm trying to keep my emotions together, y'all. So just help me, because this is a heavy story. This is amazing. RodneyFlowers.com. You can find him all over social media. He's got several books that we're going to get to in the second half. I think you got two or three books, Rodney. Is it three?
Three.
Yeah, and we're gonna go into those. One of them is, I think, Get Up, and what an amazing title. I can't wait for us to go into that. Rodney, you can tell that in this change in your life, you can tell people that feelings, emotions, loneliness, darkness is a reality, but you just chose not to stay there, huh?
Absolutely. We all have choices. And what I feel about emotions is, what I've learned is that it's energy in motion. Okay. And so, yeah, I mean, it's human to feel those feelings.
Right.
What we don't want to do is allow them to fester. We don't want them to stay too long.
Right.
And we sometimes need to feel those feelings. You need to feel the heaviness, and you need to let that flow through you and then flow out of you and replace it with something else. And I know that sounds probably a little bit easier said than done, but that's the objective. Because when we don't do that, when those feelings, we allow them to fester and stay, then we begin to take on that identity. We begin to believe that's who we are. The feeling becomes habitual.
Right.
We perpetuate it. And then it makes it more difficult to sort of come out of that. That's what I call getting stuck in that emotion, getting stuck in that way of life and that way of thinking and that way of believing or perceiving.
Right.
And so I had a great team around me with my family, and I had church support that would feed me things to keep me motivated. I remember so vividly my mom was awesome. Because I was so paralyzed, right? My kidneys and everything was paralyzed. I had to lie on this particular bed that rotated my body from side to side. And the reason why they did that is because they wanted the fluid in my body to move. Because if the fluid in my body would become too stagnant, then I could catch pneumonia, and that would lead to a lot of other complications and infections and things like that. And so my mom, because she knew at some point in time I would have to stay, I would rotate, it would put me in this bed and it's going to rotate me to a certain direction. And parts of the day was facing the wall. So my mom would put scripture and quotes and all kinds of things on that wall. And so while I'm tilted in that direction, I'm looking at these scriptures and things on the wall. And that was very helpful for me, because I began to fill my mind up with certain things, you know,
right,
with scripture and positive quotes. And it just helped, you know, it just helped in that debilitating situation to repeatedly see something positive, because you're repeatedly thinking negative things and you're not getting anything positive from the doctors.
Right.
But it did allow, it allowed me to replace certain feelings and thoughts with something positive. And so it was a beautiful strategy that she used.
Thank God for moms. And thank God for the words that she put on the wall. When we come back from our break, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to hear some elements of Rodney Flowers' tenacity and how he came to a point where he said, you know, can I progress past this? And he wrestled within himself and actually said, man, this might be better than I think. So ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know, RodneyFlowers.com. Go check him out there as we have a word from our sponsors.
We have got to tell you about our amazing sponsors on Impacting Life 24/7, because they help us reach the world every single day. Michelle Perry is the host of the Successful Diligence podcast and best-selling author of The Pebble in My Shoe. You can connect with Michelle and get a copy of her book at SuccessfulDiligence.com. We're thankful that she is a gold sponsor. Paula Cousson is a gold sponsor, and she has dedicated her life to volunteering in community youth programs such as the Young Marines. Paula believes that the greatest asset each young person has is at least one caring adult in their life.
Gregory Smith. He is a platinum sponsor. He is the author of 100 Simple Ways How to Manage a Property and Evidence Room. Get your copy of his book today by reaching out to Gregory Smith on Facebook or email him at smithg1963@yahoo.com. Adrienne Barker, she is a platinum sponsor, and she is the host of the Adrienne Barker Speaks podcast. She is a life coach and CEO of Professional Global Etiquette. Please connect with Adrienne at professionalglobaletiquette.com. Mr. Mike Black is a platinum sponsor from New Bern, North Carolina. Mike helps men throughout Eastern Carolina find and lead a faith-filled life. He is also the co-host of Impacting Life 24/7. He is a compassionate leader in his church and a devoted father and husband. Dr. Nate Dunlap Jr. is a platinum sponsor, and he is the executive director of the PRF Institute. He is the author of What's Next? Preparing for Eternity and Don't Leave Me Like This, Inspiration to Leave a Legacy. As a 501c3 nonprofit organization, the PRF Institute is blessed to be that premier stewardship-based teaching ministry that truly responds to the needs of families and communities around the country. Find Dr. Dunlap and his amazing team at prfinstitute.org. Poet Katrina McCain, she is the author of Because She Decided to Love. This is a collection of poetry and prose about how love has impact on every relationship. Poet Katrina McCain is a platinum sponsor, and this book that she has detailed for us is a raw and uncut poetry ensemble that addresses themes of how we express love through loss, hurt, pain, and grief. Connect with her at poetkatrinamccain.com. If you'd like to become a sponsor of Impacting Life 24/7, it's very simple. Just go to clkingspeaker.com.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Go to clkingspeaker.com. I feel a little something on that, man. We might have to get the tambourine out. Thank you to all of our sponsors. We love and appreciate you. Thank you for helping us move this mission forward. We are joined, for those of you listening to our podcast, which can be heard on 27 different platforms. It's in 37 countries and 37 states and 22 countries around the world. We are blessed to have in our virtual studios Mr. Rodney Flowers. You can find him at rodneyflowers.com. He has an amazing story. You got to pick it up. You got to just go back and rewind. I'm not going to recap it because you should have rolled along with us. But now what we're going to talk about is, you know, being a paraplegic and you're getting scriptures on the wall. And now you come to this point where you're like saying, all right, am I going to stay like this, or maybe I can overcome this? Tell us about that moment. You told me about it in the pre-show. Give us some insight to that, brother.
Yeah, so I was actually a quadriplegic.
Sorry. I always mess it up.
There was one particular night where it was a pivotal moment for me. It was a turning point. And I was in bed, in pain. Wasn't in physical pain because obviously my sensation was impaired. But I was in spiritual and emotional pain.
Right.
And I started to ask myself a series of questions like, why are you in pain? And obviously I was hurt because I was injured. But the pain was really coming from what I felt I wasn't going to be able to do in life. Like that vision that I had was seemingly taken away. And I began to ask myself a series of questions that, you know, I wanted to ease the pain. I wanted the pain to go away. So I said, well, what if you would, you know, just have a better attitude about your situation? Would that make you at least feel better? Could you feel better? Right. And these were questions that I decided to really be open and honest with myself.
Right.
So the answer to that was yes. And then I kept asking myself questions, and it led to, you know, what if questions. I asked myself, well, what if you were to overcome this? What if you were to overcome, not walk again, but just overcome to the point where maybe perhaps you could live an independent life, you could get a job, and you know, maybe you still had to deal with some things, but and still be in a wheelchair. But what if you just overcame it beyond what anyone expected you to overcome? Like, how would that make you feel? What impact would that have? You know, would that make the pain go away? And obviously, the answer to that question was yes. But it was more than that. It was an eye opener, you know, because what I wanted from football was obviously, you know, the fame and to be a star and to perform well on that stage.
Right.
You know, that level of prestige, you know, NFL football player, that's pretty major. But I realized that if you were to overcome this, man, that trumps football. That trumps the NFL. If you overcome this, you can inspire people. You can cause people to pivot, cause people to reinvent themselves, to look at the challenge that they have in their life as, well, if he can go overcome this, that little thing that I have, that's a piece of cake. I think I can do that. And so I wanted to be that guy that actually replaced everything that football was in my life. Mm-hmm. And it became a driving force. And I realized that my adversity was actually a big opportunity. Mm. And, you know, that's why I get out of bed. You know, it became why I got out of bed every day. It's still the reason why I get out of bed early, even today, because I realized that me overcoming, me continuing to push forward, isn't just about me. It's about the impact and the contribution and the service and the example that it can bring to individuals. And it became my purpose in life. You know, my mission in life is to be an example of what's possible. And so I've taken that on as a privilege, right? To have the privilege to overcome.
Right.
Responsibility to overcome as well.
Now say that again for the folks in the back, because I just gotta say that again, please. It's too powerful not to say it.
I've taken that on as a privilege,
right?
You know, I have the privilege to go through this challenge and this adversity and figure out how to overcome it. Is absolutely a privilege because of the things that I learn and gain, and it's also a responsibility because it's an example. It's what resilience looks like. It's what not giving up looks like. It's what continuing to press on and grow and develop. That's what it looks like. And I think we need more of that. We need more warriors, need more people that's not going to give up in the face of adversity, but actually will look at adversity as an opportunity to grow,
yeah,
to get better, to progress. Because at the end of the day, the responsibility we all have is to grow and to create a positive impact in the world in whatever way you do that. And there's going to be some opposition to that challenge.
Right.
But it's your responsibility to overcome that. Ooh. For your own edification and for the edification of others.
Listen at that, ladies and gentlemen. It's a privilege and it's also a weighty responsibility. And I'm telling you what, I've never heard it put like that. And I told Rodney in the pre-show, I said, man, it's cool when you can interview a fellow motivational speaker and get inspired. And I'm just like, man, I just want you to come on the show and give your speeches, brother, because it's just an unbelievable revelation there about the responsibility. So in the journey of getting to where you are now, because the worst stage you were at was in a bed being turned left and right. How long was it to, well, I've watched you in your videos walking on stage. How long was that journey, bro?
It was 18 years.
Oh, 18 years?
Yeah, it was 18 years. I mean, there was times where I could obviously take steps.
Right.
Assisted steps. But walking with my crutches independently was an 18-year stint.
18 years, ladies and gentlemen. And I can just imagine at the half, because you came out at football after the halftime. I can just imagine at the halfway point in this journey, were you shocking folks? Were people saying, Rodney, what are you doing? I mean, why are you trying to push so hard? Did you have people speaking in your ears like that, bro?
No, because wherever I was, people were, they would say it's okay with
okay.
Whatever I was doing. Wherever I was at, it was okay. It wasn't okay for me.
Right.
But wherever I was during that period, it was okay. They knew I was giving it everything that I could. And I had people that believed too. I had some believers in God, that God was going to heal me and, you know, I was going to recover 100%. I had people like that in my life as well. And I still do.
Right.
I didn't have people that thought I was crazy though.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have that. Most of the time they supported me in what I wanted to do. If I wanted to go to therapy, if I wanted to walk and things like that, you know, they were there. I had people that were there. The difficulty for me was when I finally did leave home and I went to college, you know, I didn't have the family around me. So getting someone on the team or someone to support me in some of the things that I wanted to do, that was a little bit difficult. So I had to come up with ways to work out, come up with ways to continue my therapy and things like that when mm-hmm. I was, you know, away from home. But I was able to figure that out. It was challenging, but I was able to get some people on the team that would support the dream.
So in terms of the increments in this journey to recovery,
yeah.
I mean, what was, I'm just trying to wrap my head around it. How did it go from being on a bed, having to be turned, to yeah. being in a wheelchair, to how was that, man?
Yeah, good, great question. It was very small incremental steps, literally.
Mm-hmm.
It started with coming home from the hospital and having a pastor that pastored the church that my mom attended and always took us to. You know, she really took a liking to me and she really took the responsibility to help me. And I remember her coming over to my house several months after I was discharged from the hospital. And she would get my neighbor, she would grab my dad, uh-huh. my mom, and she would stand me up and she would say, walk. And she would pray and anoint me and do all of these things. And I literally could not, honestly. I couldn't advance my feet. I'm up, I'm on this walker and they're holding me up. I can't hold myself up. And they would grab my legs and advance my legs for me. But the thing about that is, that became the norm.
Mm-hmm.
It really did. And once, you know, I had made my mind up that I was going to walk, my family sort of, you know, grabbed hold of that vision because, you know, when you're at the bottom,
yeah,
you don't have an alternative. Mm. You know, people would ask me, they would say, you know, how did you not give up? And I would reply to them, very easily, because there's no value in giving up.
Right.
There was nothing there for me if I gave up. Like if I gave up, like literally there was a point in time when I wanted to kill myself. I talk about that in my book because it had gotten that hard. I was that depressed. And the only thing that stopped me from doing that was the fact that I would definitely lose if I killed myself.
Right.
I mean, there's no possible way of recovering and bouncing back if you do that. If you don't, at least you have more of a shot than killing yourself. So the same philosophy goes for giving up. Like if you give up, you don't even give yourself the opportunity.
Right.
You don't have the possibility of advancing, of progress. You're out of the game. That's what that means. You're out of the game.
Right.
If you stay in the game, regardless of what the score is, you always have that. If the clock is still running, have that. Listen, anything can happen.
Right.
And it did for me. And so I believe in giving yourself the opportunity of possibility.
Right.
And that means just staying in the game. Keep pushing, keep pressing. Because what else are you going to do? If you give up, if you're not focused on the goal, and the question is, what are you doing, and what is that? What is the value in whatever it is that you're doing?
See, now you're making me think. You know, my mind. You know, as speakers, our mind is always running a million miles a second. But I'm looking at this from two areas. Number one, obviously, men of faith, we believe God, whatever His will is, He can heal, He can raise up, He can do whatever. He's sovereign. But then there's the other component of your will. your desire. You had to put some effort. You had to, yeah. Right? So now let me ask you this question. If you had done nothing, and let's say God in his sovereignty had not done anything, what condition would you be in today?
Well, I may not be here. Because if I have done nothing, then atrophy and all the other complications that come with this level of injury probably would have taken me out by now.
You needed to get up.
It was a life and death situation.
You needed to get up. So I'm going to push our commercial at 9 o'clock to the end of the show, guys. And we'll I cannot interrupt this flow. And you guys just, we'll have our second sponsorship commercial at the end, which will be just fine. Get Up is the title of one of your books, one of your best-selling books. And it's a gripping story of victory over adversity. You can find this book. I wish everybody would go right now to RodneyFlowers.com. You can find it on Amazon, Barnes and Noble. But you help us with this book because look at the title of it. when somebody said, "Hey, get up," and you're like, "I can't, I will, and I did." That's below it. Here's how, man, Rodney. The inspiration behind that book, I'm sure, is just overflowing. But can you give us just kind of like surmise what the book is really dealing with there?
Well, the book really walks you through what you just said. I can't, I will, and I did. And so there's a mindset shift through those three different stages of dealing with this experience that I was dealing with. I went from I can, I went to I will, and then I actually did it. And so I wanted to create a blueprint and a template for people in order to get up. This is what you would want to follow. You want to kind of take this on as a guide to bounce back or get up from whatever it is that you feel is keeping you down.
Because the first arena that you stay in, if you stay in, I can't, you never will.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
That's powerful. So let me ask you this. I need to go back just real quick. In terms of you, it was 18 years. Mm-hmm. On the average, how many days did you put in work to?
Every day.
It was every day.
Every day. Every day, man. Every day.
Wow.
Every day. And it's still every day.
It's still every day.
It's still every day. I'm up at 4 a.m. every day. I'm in the gym by 5. You know, I get on the treadmill. I get on the elliptical. I take that hill. I have a trainer. We lift weights every day.
Well, we're going to talk about that hill in a minute. Don't let the story of the hill out because that's too sweet, baby. You have another book entitled Essential Assertions. Again, my guest tonight, ladies and gentlemen, on Impacting Life 24/7 is the great Mr. Rodney Flowers. I was telling Mike when we were in the pre-show tonight, I said, you know, people, you see the kids in the stands with their jerseys hoping that an athlete will sign it because, you know, we idolize these folks that we pay them millions of dollars a year to do something we do for fun. Then I look at this man, Rodney Flowers, who really, with no fanfare, said, I can't, I will, and I did. Rodney, your next book, Essential Assertions. Tell us what that's about, and what will readers get out of Essential Assertions?
Yeah, so these are assertions that I feel are essential to achieving goals, dreams, bouncing back from adversity that you want to have or experience in your life. So a person reading this book will be able to see these modalities and these assertions that I've experienced and be able to, and they're really just their mindsets. That's right. What this really comes down to is mindset. Cause I think mindset is the key to overcoming, you know, whatever it is that you're dealing with, whatever challenge, all of that feeling that you have about resistance and oppression and depression, it really comes down to your mental state as it relates to those things.
Right.
How do you see yourself? How do you see, you know, your ability as it relates to the resistance that you're facing? And a lot of times we give a lot of energy and a lot of power to our opposition.
Right.
We play a lot of defense. We don't play a lot of offense. And what that means is we're always trying to stop something from happening. We're trying to stop the pain. We're trying to stop, you know, whatever it is. We're not creating. We're not attacking life. We're not on offense.
Just waiting around, yeah.
Defense. And so I believe that if you assert things, you apply things, you attack life, you assert what it is that you want, at that point you become the creator of your own life. You begin to change the momentum of the game, and it's the mental game.
Right.
A lot of times the defense and the opposition has control of our minds. It has us in a place of defeat, and we forget how powerful we are. We forget the abilities that we do have because we're so focused on what we don't have or what has been taken away or what has changed versus how can I influence this? How can I impact, you know, this situation? How can I be more effective? What it is I need to do in order to overcome? And so I wrote a book that allows a person to sort of gather that.
Yeah.
That mentality in order for them to assert, you know, and create and change the momentum in their life, regardless of what it is that they're going
to move that goal, man. Move that goal. Essential Assertions by Rodney Flowers, of course, is his one of his other best-selling books. Get Up. I Can't, I Will, I Did. Here's how. You got to get a copy of that. All you got to do is go to rodneyflowers.com. You can go to Barnes & Noble. You can go to Amazon. You can go everywhere because Rodney's everywhere. And then the last one that I saw was Conversations with Rodney. What was that? What was that one about?
Well, there were about 12 to 13 questions that I typically get asked, and there were common questions. And so what I did is I took those questions and I answered them in the book. And so a person picking that up will be able to sort of get into the mindset of Rodney as it relates to those particular questions. And it's very conversational. You know, you hear me address, you know, common questions that I've been asked. And it's just a way for you to kind of get into my mindset and how I think as it relates to challenges and obstacles.
Yeah. For the last hour, I've been trying to get into your mind, brother. I'm struggling, brother. You got a deep mind. I'm trying to use some scalpels. I can't get in there yet.
Well, here's the thing. I can give it to you really, really, really quick. It really comes down to this.
Uh-huh.
You know, I believe that if you're alive and breathing, then you are on the field of adversity in the game of life. And on this field, there are no rules and anything goes. Okay.
Right.
Now you have the responsibility to score though. However, right. And scoring is bringing forth your contribution, your impact, your service, the thing that it is unique about you that can bring about a positive change. And that can be a podcast host, entrepreneur, a CEO, whatever it is. And I believe God is so smart that he gives us these desires, and these desires isn't just for us, it's for those around us. And so when we fully express ourselves and bring those contributions forward, yeah, we get a reward, and that could be money, fame, whatever it is. But more importantly, it changes the lives of other people. Now, on that quest to do those things, there's going to be opposition. There's going to be resistance because you're on this field.
Right.
And there's adversity on this field.
Right.
But your responsibility is to figure out how to be the best player, the star player, and eventually the champion in this game of life. And that all starts with you understanding how to navigate adversity, how to overcome uncertainty. Ooh. And this is where you develop. So life is one big training ground.
Yes.
You approach it that way, you'll be thankful for these training opportunities, because this is where you are exposed. You understand where your weaknesses are, where you need to concentrate,
right,
and put your focus in order for you to become the star in this game.
I was in Wally World the other day, my friend, where the Walmartians are. I don't know if y'all have Wally Worlds up there in Maryland, but I was in Walmart and they were playing over the speakers, "We are the champions, my friend." And I was just thinking, you know, they wrote that song. Ronnie just said to ultimately be the champion. And I'm just like, okay, the Lord is just dealing with me, obviously bringing me in contact with this great man. I was in the store and I said, why didn't they just write a song? "We are the second place finishers, my friend." and some people feel like you're not, well, it's second is okay or third. Rodney could have just said, well, it's fine if I just stay in a wheelchair. I'm not in the bed being turned left and right. Right. I don't have to stay and stare at a wall. But Rodney took the concept of, I can be a champion over this thing, man. And this is what I love, because let me tell you, I'm not going to get on my soapbox because the time is his. He took that adversity because he said it's going to happen to all of us. See, y'all didn't believe me. I've been saying that for years, and Rodney has confirmed it. Adversity will come, right, Rodney?
Doesn't matter. You have this, you know, social issue going on. This one thing that we all have in common, whether you're Black, white,
right,
Chinese, Japanese, or American, we all are going to face adversity.
Yes.
We all are going to face opposition. We're all going to face resistance in life. We are all on the same team.
Right.
Okay. And that's why it's so important for you to play your role in that game, because we need you to play your role. We need you to overcome in this game so we collectively can win.
Collectively. Now, I've looked at some of the comments from people that you have spoken for and some corporations and entities. Rodney spoke for our team several months into the COVID pandemic. His message on resilience during times of crisis was insightful and motivating. He wove our organization's key tenets, client first, agility, community service, into his training for a very powerful experience. We received positive feedback from our team as well. I need to hear this message. This is from the Vice President of Client Delivery. And let me just tell you something, Rodney. There ain't nothing like a testimony. There ain't nothing like it. When I go, if somebody wants to reach out to me immediately, I go to their testimonials. And you talk about resiliency. Who better to listen about resiliency than someone that trekked 18 plus years in a journey that was 92% improbable? Give us a snapshot of your thoughts on resiliency and how you help people tap into that, Rodney.
Well, you know, when it comes to resiliency, which is the ability to bounce back, I think a lot of times we don't realize, or we don't have anything to bounce back for. And we're too busy trying to hold on to the old instead of embracing to new. So part of bouncing back is bouncing forward into something different. Mm-hmm. And that's sometimes the hardest part. And it's really taking on a new identity, okay? Whenever you are, like for me, for example, part of bouncing back for me was reinventing myself.
Right.
Taking on a new identity, taking on a new vision. My whole entire vision was sort of wiped away. And so I had to create a new vision for myself. And that vision caused me to create a new identity, because I had to think about who I needed to be in order to accomplish that vision. Mm-hmm. So resiliency is a process. And it's also about practicing the art of resilience before you need it. So everything that I'm talking about right now,
yeah,
I can tell you because I've gone through it.
Right.
And so, no, I wouldn't expect someone who hasn't ever been through a very harsh experience, you know, and then they finally go through one and I say, hey, bounce back from that, because that's just not realistic.
Right.
But what you want to do is challenge yourself daily. I believe, you know, right now, honestly, I was just talking to a friend of mine earlier today. I wake up every day, and I think everyone should, and I hunt something down, and I kill it relative to my goals and the impact that I want to have in life. And the reason why I do that is because I'm constantly challenging myself. So when something does come up, I don't go into a hole and feel like I can't overcome, I can't, you know, defeat this challenge, because I, you know, that's like sending someone in the Super Bowl and they never played one game on football.
Right.
And so what you want to do is you want to practice this on a regular basis. You want to practice resilience before you need it. So when you really need it, you know, it's familiar to you. You know how to dig deep. You know how to create a new identity. You know how to pivot. You know how to create a new vision. You know how to, you know, create a new image of whatever it is that you're trying to bounce to. And so that's really what I would say to people, is to constantly challenge yourself. We think life is always, for I don't want to be too harsh, but it's not, the harmony of life is not in a straight line. It's not always peachy cream all the time.
Right.
There's some hard things in life. There just is. And that's okay. Why? Because we have the ability to overcome, because we are champions. We are resilient. And so when these things come up, it's not a time for us to sort of like wait for someone to tell us what to do or wait for the government to do something to do. You know, so this goes away. You have to take responsibility for your own life.
He talking my language now, y'all.
Yeah, you have to take responsibility for that.
Yeah.
And that requires you to have some level of discipline, some level of resilience, and to practice these things on a daily basis.
Man, I'm telling you what, guys, this is, if you should have all of my principals and superintendents and college friends and leadership folks out there. You need to have Rodney come and train your team, because I did look at some statistics for those that you had on your website about how resiliency helps organizations, helps leaders, helps individuals, as it improves output, it improves throughput, because you practice it. You're not totally caught off guard and in shock. Like he said, you just go into a cave somewhere because adverse things happen. I recall just real quick, Rodney, at the beginning of 2020, my vehicle blew up, and I'm just like sitting around like, okay, what am I going to do? But I've been without a ride before. I mean, I'm married with children, and so COVID's around. I ain't really going nowhere. So I'm just chill with it. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to let this thing come to me. I'm not going to go out here and stress about it. Kept the vehicle in the driveway. We got another vehicle, obviously, but I'm going to chill. And then, you know, the Lord opened up a door for me to buy a vehicle that had 8 miles on it. For the first time in my life, I never bought a vehicle with that low miles on it. And so the point is that I've had practice in that arena before. I've had practice in seeing it on the side of the road and realizing that you just got to come up with another alternative. You got to find another way.
Yes. And a lot of times the other way is a better way.
Yes, sir.
It was a better way to begin with. But, you know, just like a lot of the benefits that we're experiencing right now due to COVID, we could have experienced those things before COVID. Yeah. But COVID sort of forced us into looking at ways that we can connect, looking at ways that we can telework and do all these other things. Now, there were some bad things that happened out of COVID.
Right.
But at the same time, there were some benefits.
Right.
And so it's what we choose to focus on. So I think when we practice resilience, you know how to look for the opportunities. You know how to see what's good. And when you don't, what you find yourself doing is making excuses.
Mm. Oh, now there we go. There we go. That's the Marine talk right there. Yes, sir. He said, that's what we wind up doing when we come down to it. We're just making excuses. Hello. So Rodney Flowers, my friend, my new homeboy up there in Maryland. Where are you at in Maryland, actually?
Southern Maryland. Southern, about 60 miles south from D.C.
Okay. I go up there not often enough. I went to the Baltimore Harbor. That was so beautiful. Toured around up there. Beautiful. And when I go to D.C., I always stay in Gaithersburg because there's a hotel that will take me right to the metro. I don't even drive the whole week I'm in D.C. I just leave my car at the hotel. You every day, you get up and you have a routine and you've got this rudiment in your life, which got you to this point, brother. And I really do feel like, and I'm not being, you ain't paying me to say this. When we talk about superstars, brother, you're it, man. When I can't imagine being 18 years ago, being told that this, get your life in order because this is the way you're going to be. And today you walking across stages telling them what you want to do now. What's your excuse? Every day you get up and you walk and you exercise and you put the grind in, but you walk on this hill. This hill has captivated me, the story that you told me about it. I would like for you to share that with our audience.
Well, it really goes back to what we were talking about earlier, where sometimes you feel that, for example, if you were that entrepreneur and things get hard and you feel like you just want to quit, you know, this is a testament that you just can't quit. You just can't just throw in the towel because it's just not about you. And this was confirmed for me. It's been confirmed for me several times over. I live by this, but you know, I decided to take this hill three times a day. I was taking it one time a day because it is a very large hill. And so I decided to expand and started walking up this hill three times a week. And I was going on Wednesdays. And so now I started going Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays. And so just this past Monday, I took the hill. And on the way towards the hill, I had failed. And I got back up, you know, obviously, and I kept going, but it was an opportunity for me to say, okay, you know, maybe not today. Maybe we need to, you know, not do this three times a week. It could have came up with all kinds of excuses. So I kept going. And, you know, I'm about halfway up the hill and I see this guy. And he knows me and he's walking down the hill and it's about 7 o'clock in the morning. And he's like, hey, Rodney, how you doing? I'm like, hey, bro, how you doing? And he was like, man, I was just getting ready to take the shortcut until I saw you. and so when I seen you, I realized I can't wow. take the shortcut now. I have to go the long way because how can I take the shortcut? And you're out here on crutches taking this hill. And I'm like, that's right, man. There's no shortcuts in life. You gotta take the long way. And, you know, for me, it just made me realize even more that the challenge that I'm dealing with is not just for me. Because if I could have gone back into the house after I failed, I could have been like, not today, I'm tired, whatever it was, I wouldn't have came face to face with that guy. And that guy would have taken the shortcut. And taking shortcuts can be a habit. Maybe we can get into the habit of taking shortcuts. And then we always ask ourselves, why am I falling short? Why I'm not getting where I want to go? Why I don't have what I want to have in life? Why I'm not causing the impact that I want to have in life? It's because we keep taking shortcuts. See, there's no shortcuts in life. You have to take the long way around. Because when you take shortcuts, all you're doing is shortcutting yourself. And so I was just grateful to be in a space where I could create that type of impact for him, but also reinforce my responsibility to take the hill. And I don't know what your hill is. Mm-hmm. I just know it's your responsibility to take it because you don't know who's watching you. You don't know what impact you're going to have on them from taking the hill, or what impact you'll have from not being on your hill at a particular time when somebody needed you.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's Rodney Flowers, Rodney C. Flowers from Maryland. You can find him, man. I'm overwhelmed. I don't even know what to say, man. You can find Rodney at, you can find Rodney at rodneyflowers.com. You know, when some people have said, Rodney, that how do you measure the effects of what people like you and I do trying to inspire people? And you really don't know. But I do know this, that your tenacity and you not being willing to quit, even though you had every justification to quit and give up for the day, you were justified in doing so, but you didn't cheat the game. You didn't take the shortcut.
Can't yeah. cheat the game.
Bro. Heard Kobe say that all the time. You got to be
true. Can't cheat the game, man.
Because it'll tell on you.
It's not an this you can't. You got to play it, and you got to listen. You got to play the game the way the game has to be played.
Right.
Or you're gonna get played. That's it.
Yeah.
Because you're on the field of adversity, and it doesn't care. Doesn't care whether you're black, doesn't care whether you're white, doesn't right. care whether you're smart, doesn't care whether you got money,
right.
doesn't care. It doesn't care. You have to care. You have to care.
If I can ask real quick for our live audience, if you guys could just type in the chat box just real quick, just a phrase or comment, what you have felt from our time with Rodney Flowers, Rodney C. Flowers. You can go find him at RodneyFlowers.com. He's already agreed. We've already signed the contract that he's coming back. So he's like, yeah, send me the invoice, brother. he has taken what was truly a tragedy, ladies and gentlemen. When we look at it, it would be very, very easy. I've seen people quit for a whole lot less, Rodney. I've seen people quit for a whole lot less. And I want to speak to my friend, Arisha Foster. I'm going to send this show to her because her husband was a youth pastor at our church. And he was playing football with the youth on New Year's Eve night, 2013. Jumped up to catch the ball and fell and hit his head. And he's been in a vegetative state ever since. And she goes, yeah. She's been with him and she's staying by his side and he's progressed. And so you said, as long as there's breath, as long as there's life, there's hope. And so Rodney Flowers has come along. Rodney Flowers has come along to this show to tell us, man, don't quit. Don't give up. Even when the hill seems hard to climb. Boy, there's a song about that somewhere. Even when the hill seems hard to climb, ladies and gentlemen, you just have to climb it. And please don't give up.
I just want to say, CL, just one thing, because when you brought that up about the gentleman that's in a vegetative state, that was my prognosis. And what comes up for me when I hear that is that, you know, we're blessed, man, to be where we are. You know, for those that are listening in on this show, you know, a lot of people that are listening, they don't have physical ailments. They may have some challenges in life, and we all have challenges. But when we really look around at some of the things that other people are dealing with, we're dealing with far less, and that includes me, dealing with far less than what a lot of people are dealing with, but we're complaining a whole lot more. And so, you know, we have to really just be thankful for what we have. And I know it's hard and it's challenging, but we need to be thankful, because at the end of the day, it could be a whole lot worse than what we're really actually dealing with.
You're right.
Because there's some people out there. I've seen some things just being in the hospital. You know, there was a guy that lived a couple of doors down from me. He wasn't playing football. He was out just playing a simple game of basketball, something that he did every single day. He suffered a stroke in his brainstem. And he communicated by blinking his eyes. He never recovered. Had a beautiful family, wife and everything. He never recovered. And a few years later, he died. So
yeah, we need to take that into perspective, man. Rodney Flowers, ladies and gentlemen, some of the comments said, wow, amazing, inspired, motivated, inspired to the max over here. Yeah, this is what he does. Go to his website, get his book. I'm going to get a copy of your book, brother. You don't have to send it to me for free. I'll hook you up. I'll buy it because
no
I want a signed copy. I want you to sign
absolutely.
It, brother. Because
no worries,
you have, as a motivator, I've been inspired. He spoke to me, ladies and gentlemen. This is why I have people on this show. Everybody thinks, oh, you're so smart for having all these people on. It helps me. I get therapy 3 times a week. You know what I mean? So, Rodney, I'm going to just give you the opportunity to give us one closing thought. Speak to the entire audience, if you would, brother. The floor is yours.
Well, I mean, you know, much has already been said, but I just want people to realize that you're going to create an impact in this world. It's either going to be one that builds or one that destroys. You choose. And a lot of times the challenges and obstacles that you face are opportunities for you to become a better, greater person in order to cause a better and greater positive impact. And when we don't, when we decide that we're not gonna face those challenges and those obstacles and we're gonna let them defeat us, we're really giving up a whole lot. Not just for ourselves, but for many people that, like I said, may be on that hill looking for you to make a difference in their lives. So think about that whenever you feel like giving up.
Wow. Again, my friend, we are friends now, right, Rodney?
Absolutely.
He's a more composed version of me. I love your style, brother. It's just you speaking right to the heart, just like many people said in their evaluations of you. Your words get right to the point. And we're blessed to have you a part of the Impacting Life 24/7 family. I'll get with your team to maybe do something in the fall or winter. We are so thankful that God brought us together, Rodney. Your story, I know it's going to be heard around the world. I know you're not doing it for that reason. I know you care about just the one person at a time. But you have really inspired our audience. Katrina says this is one of the most powerful shows ever. And we've done over 200. And I have to concur with her. She's one of our team members and co-hosts. So thank you, Rodney Flowers. RodneyFlowers.com. Go get his 3 books. Tell him CL King sent you, and we'll give you a hoodie from our merch store. That's how hype we is, baby. Rodney, I love you, man. We appreciate you, bro. And we look forward to getting back together, okay?
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
I got your phone. I got your number saved in my phone, so I'm going to be texting you too.
Roger that, man.
You take care, my brother.
All right. Thank you.
God bless you.
You too.
So that was Rodney Flowers, y'all. I told you. Woo! Yeah, you're right, Katrina. Power. Full. How could you what else is there to add? I don't even know what to say. I'm just ready to say Mike. When you're talking about someone who in an instant their life was totally grabbed away from them and they were placed on a bed, turned to keep the body, to keep their kidneys active, I just can't. To going from, go look at his website, guys, RodneyFlowers.com. He is owning the stage, walking across it, where they said 92% of the chance he would never do that. Quadriplegic. I really just have no words for what that man spoke into our lives. And he's good with it, man. He's surgical. He's very confident in the words that he's speaking, because guess what? He's lived it. People can argue. I say this all the time. People can argue with your methods, but they can't argue with your results. Ronnie, why are you getting up every day? Why your family coming holding your legs up when you can't feel nothing? Why are they doing this? Why are you climbing this hill, Ronnie? Why? You know, I will just tell you this before I go. Flight was achieved on a hill, ladies and gentlemen. The Wright brothers climbed. I climbed that hill. It was huge up there in Kitty Hawk, North Carolina. Flight was achieved on a hill by those brothers climbing that hill 300 times. I think they said a day in suits and top hats. The Wright brothers. Flight was achieved by them climbing up that hill and testing out their prototype, making adjustments and calculations. We fly today. I'm flying to Houston in a couple months. We fly today because they didn't give up on the hill. Rodney Flowers got people flying all over the world because he did not give up on the hill. We're going to close out with our last commercial. And once that's over, we'll see you Thursday night. I will be interviewed tomorrow night for the latest I've ever been interviewed at 11 o'clock. I'll be on a show in, I don't even remember where, Australia. I'll be there in Australia talking to the podcast queen, and I'll be interviewed on her show. And then tomorrow night at 6:30, I'm blessed to be with Reverend Lamb and their prayer line. And then we'll be back here Thursday night to close out the week. I love you guys. I appreciate you. Thank you for being a part of Impacting Life 24/7. Let's hear from our sponsors before we go. Every time you hear Impacting Life 24/7, it is brought to you in part by our amazing sponsors. Donald Skip Mondragon II, MD, is a platinum sponsor, and he is a 26-year Army veteran, National Veterans Wrestling Champion, a speaker, and author. He is the author of Wrestling Depression is Not for Wimps, Lessons Learned from an Amateur Wrestler's Fight to Triumph Over Depression. Contact him and book him today at WrestlingIsNotForWimps.com. The Underdog Ninja Foundation are platinum sponsors. This was founded in 2020 by Javi and Jessica Madrigal, a husband and wife team that have been battling and overcoming heart disease for 18 years. Their personal story and experiences have led them to follow the calling of empowering, educating, and supporting those fighting heart disease. They have a remarkable platform and a dynamic story. Contact this amazing team at underdogninja.org. Belinda Tyson Linder has spent decades investing in people from all different backgrounds. She is a platinum sponsor. She has led inner city programs for disadvantaged youth, as well as being a mentor to young adults, married couples, individuals facing adversity. Belinda and her husband have built multiple 6- and 7-figure businesses and have trained leaders on having tenacity and character. Ultimately, Belinda cares about people. Bettina Carey is a platinum sponsor. Bettina Carey is a 4'9½" Latina. She inspires and empowers women to create big results. They shatter their earning ceiling, kick self-imposed limitations to the curb, and live their legacies now. Whether she's coaching from a live or virtual stage or conferencing with a small cohort of bold women or men on the rise across from a conference table, her championship strategies and straight talk compel women and men to find their whole new gear and succeed beyond their wildest imaginations. Connect with Bettina today at WeEmpowerYourLife.com. You've heard it here, folks. All of these people help us with Impacting Life 24/7. If you would like to join them, it's very simple. All you have to do is go to CLKingSpeaker.com.